is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Admiral Jim Stavridis, United States Navy, retired. His new book is very helpful to understand the history of the Navy and the way the Navy educates its future leadership. The book is To Risk It All, Nine Conflicts and the Crucible of Decision. Jim has lessons learned, and I mean to speak to each of them with the examples he provides in his book, the telling of these lives at sea and on shore. We begin with lesson learned about how to be a leader in the U.S. Navy. Gather all intelligence you can find, like a sponge. The examples I'm most attracted to in the book are George Dewey, who led the charge into Manila Bay, and an example of gathering intelligence but not being able to follow through because of incomplete communications. That would be Bill Halsey in 1944 in the Battle of Leyte Gulf. Admiral, congratulations. Good evening. George Dewey is easy to like, especially when you tell us he was a rascal most of his life. How does he exemplify gathering intelligence before you contact the enemy? Good evening to you.
Good evening, sir, and thanks for having me on to talk about this new book, To Risk It All. And let's start with George Dewey. He leads the U.S. Navy through victory in the Spanish-American War 120 years ago. So in 1898, he has a challenge. He has a problem. He needs to conquer the Spanish fleet in vast Manila Bay. But in 1898, there isn't much intelligence available. We don't have satellites. We don't have drones. He's got to rely on what human intelligence he can gather. And he hits upon the idea of contacting his counterparts in the State Department, diplomats. And so he is able to contact a recently returned diplomat. He gathers sketch maps and using that constructs a battle plan that ultimately destroys the Spanish fleet and brings the United States to victory in that war. It's a perfect example of gathering intelligence, even as you stand on the edge of battle.
The example now of gathering intelligence, but having incomplete because of communications, is Bill Halsey, the Third Fleet, October of 44, in the Shakespearean Battle of Leyte Gulf. Bill Halsey led the American Third Fleet to destroy the Japanese fleet. This is late in the war, and the battle right before the Battle of Philippine Sea, the Japanese carriers, what was left, had escaped Admiral Spruance. So Bill Halsey is steaming north to contact the Japanese carriers he believes are coming to attack Leyte and Leyte Gulf, where Douglas MacArthur has landed I Shall Return military forces. However, Bill Halsey doesn't have all the information. Admiral, it is wonderful to go over this scenario again and again. We'll touch on it several times in our conversation. What do you draw from Bill Halsey's information that day on the bridge, whether he should or should not leave a covering force behind him?
Well, you used the word Shakespearean. There are moments of the Battle of Leyte Gulf that remind me of King Lear headed into the great storm. In other words, Bill Halsey, who's an impetuous, I wouldn't use the word reckless, but he's driven, he's ambitious, he feels he's in competition with the more studious Admiral Halsey, or Admiral Spruance, as you mentioned. They traded command of the fleet. So Halsey, in this moment of decision, decides he'll risk it all, quite literally the title of the book, by charging to the north and trying to destroy these, what he thinks is the main Japanese battle force. Unfortunately, he is misled by the intelligence, the lack of communication, and he takes his main combat power away from where it needs to be at that moment in the actual landing force protecting it. Luckily, there's a terrific heroic story of Navy destroyers who saved the day. But to focus on Bill Halsey, it's a moment of failure when he risks it all with imperfect intelligence. And the lesson is there will be times when the intelligence does work for you, as in Dewey, and times where it will fail you, as it did for Bill Halsey.
Jim, is this a story that is argued about over and over, generation after generation in Annapolis? Does everybody enter into this with a position and then spin around and around with the details?
Yes, is the short answer. And there's almost a Team Spruance, Team Halsey kind of aspect to this. Two very different officers, very different personalities. I'll tell you, I'm a Team Spruance guy. And one of the real annoyances to me is that Bill Halsey ended up with a fifth star, became a fleet admiral. In my view, the far more deserving of the two would have been Ray Spruance. You never heard a word about that from Ray Spruance.
There's a new book, Nimitz at War, by Craig Simmons, a longtime professor at Annapolis, that gives us scenes of Admiral Nimitz pacing and pacing as he's waiting for more information to come in from Lady Gulf. We have to move right immediately to another lesson learned from these many men and women at sea. This is, consider the possible consequences of your decision to take a risk. You introduce us to now the first admiral, I believe, for an African-American in the United States Navy. This is Rear Admiral Michelle Howard. At the time of the contact, this is 2009, this is the flotilla that is charged with guarding the Indian Ocean and the approaches to the Red Sea from pirates out of Somalia, the Gulf of Aden. The decision here is, what are the consequences? And Admiral Howard had just taken command, so she didn't have complete information. She was still getting used to her command. How did she weigh the consequences to make the decision to go ahead and rescue Captain Phillips?
Yeah, this is a story I think many people will know because of the very fine film, Captain Phillips, starring Tom Hanks, which I highly recommend to anyone who wants to understand what it means to risk it all in a moment of real consequence. And Michelle Howard, first African-American woman to become an admiral, is weighing not her own physical safety, but the life of the hostage, the life of Captain Phillips. I've been in that situation where you have to make a decision to pull the pin, if you will, to try out a hostage rescue. They often don't turn out well for the hostages. What Michelle did very well that day was measure the consequences. And her assessment turned out to be the right one, was that the mission would be successful. The risk would be worth taking in the case of Captain Phillips. It's a wonderful story of real success by someone who's brand new in the job, Rear Admiral, later full four-star Admiral Michelle Phillips.
And you give an order that goes down the chain of command, but you're going to be held responsible for how that order is executed. Is that correct, Jim?
You absolutely are. And Michelle Howard knew that as she undertook this rescue for Captain Phillips. She understood the consequences, not just for Captain Phillips, life or death, but career-wise for herself. I know she put all of her energy into thinking about Captain Phillips and didn't worry about Michelle Howard's career.
I'm speaking with Admiral James Stavridis, U.S. Navy retired. The new book is To Risk It All, Nine Conflicts and the Crucible of Decision. We're going over lessons learned. We're going to turn to the lesson of evaluate your resources before you make a decision. I'm John Batchelor.